can turn to Mark chapter 2, and we're going to be in verses 13 to 17 today. And this is our second conflict in this little series from chapter 2, verse 1, all the way through chapter 3, that there's five conflicts. And what we're going to see in this conflict is that Jesus is the promised Messiah who came to save sinners. That's what he came to do. Now, it's interesting in this because it's the company that Jesus keeps that is what's shocking. And it just made me think that when I was in college, then I was walking across the campus of the University of Oklahoma with this small blonde girl that would eventually become my wife. But at that point, we were walking together after having eaten with some friends, and we were walking towards a class, and she looks at me and she goes, "I have to get away from you before someone sees us together." And I thought, wow. Because the company she was keeping was obviously something different than the appearance that she wanted presented. Now, she didn't know that I would win her over eventually. But what we see in this text is that Jesus actually is flipping this around, and he doesn't care about the company he's seen with. That's actually the point. But that kind of flies in the face of what we know of, and maybe you've heard it, and my grandmother used to say it, my parents used to say it, that bad company corrupts good character. That Jesus intentionally, in this moment here that we see in the text, is intentionally provoking the scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders. He's intentionally provoking them in order that he might show them his purpose and his intent, because they're just a little bit off. And so let's read our text, and then we'll jump into unpacking it together. Mark chapter 2, verse 13, it says this. He, being Jesus, went out again beside the sea, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and he followed him. And as he reclined at a table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many who followed him. And the scribes and the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Let's pray together. Lord, would you help us this morning, Lord, to have eyes to see, Lord, to have ears to hear from you. Lord, that we wouldn't come so close and encounter your word and miss it. Lord, but that your spirit would have the freedom in this place to convict our hearts, to reveal to us our blind spots, in order that we might see Jesus more clearly for who he is, the Messiah, the promised one who came to save sinners. Lord, and I pray that truth, as we encounter it and as we reflect upon it, that it might go deep into our heart, Lord, and begin to transform us from the inside out. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's work through this text. And I think that maybe the best way to work through this text is that it breaks down into a setting, and then it breaks down into this surprising action. And that's what all five of these conflicts are going to do. They're going to show us this surprising action that Jesus does. And then we're going to see the response of the scribes and the Pharisees. And then lastly, we're going to see Jesus's rebuttal to that. So let's look at it first, the setting here in verse 13 and 14. That he, being Jesus, went out beside the sea. Now this is kind of home base for him right now, that he's around the Sea of Galilee in Capernaum in this area. And so he goes out by the sea, and of course, there's a crowd following him. That everywhere Jesus goes, there's been this crowd that's following him, and they've been wowed by his authority. to cast out demons. They've been wowed by his authority over sickness. They've been wowed by his authority in his teaching. And so he's going about and they're following him. And what is he doing? Well, he's teaching them again, because that's what he came to do, was to preach the gospel. And so he's teaching them. But as he's passing by, he sees this guy named Levi, the son of Alphaeus. Now, later we're going to know Levi as Matthew, who's also going to write a gospel. And so Levi, the son of Alphaeus, is sitting at a tax booth. Now, just the mention of taxes for some of you makes your skin crawl. You're like, I don't like him already. I just don't like him. And that's exactly the response of the people in first century that Jesus would have been walking with. And they would have seen Levi sitting there and they would have been like, ugh, I wish he would have been out to lunch, right? Wish he would have been gone. And Jesus, though, sees him and look at the response of what Jesus does. He just simply says to this guy sitting, doing his job at the tax booth, he says, follow me. Now, we've already seen that Jesus has called four other disciples, and he did it in a very similar way. He called to them to follow him. He's called Peter, and he's called Andrew, and he's called James, and he's called John. Now, these were surprising picks of guys to really build an entourage, right? That these are the guys that you want to be, to take over after you, right? That you want a disciple, that you want to be proud of. This was an interesting pick, but Levi is a scandalous pick. It's absolutely scandalous that Jesus would pick this tax collector, this guy sitting at a tax booth. Now, it might be helpful for us to understand the reality of a tax collector back in the day. Well, they were the people that worked for Rome. So it was a trader. They worked for Rome and they then taxed their own people for this evil empire that had taken over, who had blamed them, who had persecuted them. They were expelled from the synagogue. They weren't allowed to be in the synagogue, that the priest could kick them out, a tax collector that came in. It was said that their house, just by going into their house, you could become unclean. You were morally impure just by going into their house. They were mafia-like. That they would collect a tax for Rome, but then they would collect an extra tax, oftentimes, for themselves. That they got rich off of their own people. That they were mafia-like. It was a dishonest IRS, right? They were engaging in personal gain. That my favorite description of them was that the priests said that it was morally acceptable to lie to them. Can't lie anywhere else, but you can lie to a tax collector, right? Like this is the perspective of these people. That then Jesus walks by Levi sitting at this tax booth and he says, come follow me. And Levi's response, as we've already seen with the other disciples, that it was immediate and it was total. That it was an immediate obedience and it was a total surrender. That he left what he had in order to follow Jesus. He didn't wait and say, well, let me follow up with my boss, get somebody to come in and take over my shift. No, he just immediately obeyed, and it was a total surrender. So this is the setting, but this isn't really the crux of this text. This is just the setup that Jesus has now called a tax collector into his inner circle. But we see in this, verse 15, that as he reclined at the table in his house, meaning as Levi was reclining in his house, he probably had a nice house. He had lots of money off of the Jewish people. He had been making lots of money off of them. So now he's in this house and he's reclining at a table. Most likely this is a banquet feast that he had thrown as a celebration of what Jesus had just done in his life. And so he has invited people into his home and he's throwing a party. And there's many tax collectors and there's many sinners reclining with Jesus and his disciples. That Jesus and his disciples now have gone into this home, which customarily makes one impure, and now he's actually sharing food with these people. Can you believe it? Y'all don't get it, because there's not a gasp of like, oh, he would do that? Right? Like, this is the perspective of how tax collectors and sinners were seen. There's a whole different category of people that were just labeled sinners. Maybe in your mind, you have some of those. Like, they don't get titles besides sinner. Morally bankrupt. And Jesus is sitting in a house filled with them. Now, let me just ask you for a minute to help get this sink in. Think of the most morally corrupt people you know. Don't say it out loud, please. Now put them all in one house together. Now, let's put your pastor sitting in there. Just hanging out with him. You know, eating, laughing, having a good time. You're like, wait a minute. What are you doing there? Why are you there? What are you doing? What's your purpose? What do you begin to think like, wait a minute, I thought he was this, but now there's questions. This is where the Pharisees are coming from. The Pharisees are seeing this and they're like, wait a minute, we thought Jesus, you were gonna be a little more like us, a little more morally, ritually pure, clean, do the right stuff. And Jesus is turning this world that they have upside down. Because now he's hanging out with these people. And so I love it because let's look at what is it that now the scribes and the Pharisees say. That as we get to verse 16. And the scribes and the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples. Now, isn't this interesting? They didn't go directly to Jesus. They didn't go ask Jesus, Jesus, what are you doing, man? Who did they go to? They went to his followers, right? They went to the people around him and they're like, psst, hey, you sure you want to be following this guy? Why is he eating with tax collectors and sinners? They go to his disciples and they ask this question, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Now, I love this question. It's a great question. It's a right question and a proper question. They just assumed the wrong answer. This question is fantastic, and Jesus is going to answer it in the right and proper way. That they ask the question, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? And their assumed answer is that he should not, unless he's not really who he says he is. Their assumed answer is that the Messiah should not associate with people this depraved and wicked. Now, catch this. This is where it gets really good. They think that the Messiah came to save little sinners. People that were a little bad, had messed up just a little bit. We're trying to do the right thing, but just needed someone to clean them up a little bit more. That's not what Jesus came to do. Jesus answers verse 17. And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, right? He didn't wait for his disciples to try to come up with an answer. Jesus directly is going to address this. And he asks them just a simple question. He says, those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick. He tells them this proverb, this parable. Why do people go to the doctor? Now listen, I know we're full of doctors in here. I've actually gone to a wellness visit to my doctor who's in here, and I don't do needles. And when you go to a wellness visit, they want to take things that are inside your body out of your body. And I don't do well with that. I don't get wellness visits. I'm like, see, Jesus doesn't either. People that are sick go to the doctor. People that are well don't. I appreciate our doctors. I love them to death. They keep us healthy. But Jesus tells this proverb, he goes, people that are well, they don't go to the doctor. People that are sick go to the doctor. Jesus is making the connection that he is the great physician, that he is the one who came to fix that which the people could not fix. That he came to call the, he didn't come to call the righteous, but he came to call sinners. That the sinners that he's sitting with are the exact people for which he came. That's his purpose. He didn't come for this purpose of being this political leader. He didn't come for the purpose of prestige or the scribes and Pharisees, these places of honor. He didn't come to be worshiped in the sense that he would be thought of as the best Christian in the world. He came to meet sinners right where they're at in order that he might save them. See, I think if you've been a follower of Jesus for a long time, we have a tendency to maybe become a little bit like the scribes and Pharisees. That we kind of get in a holy huddle. We kind of get our Christianese, right? That we talk a certain way, we act a certain way, that there's certain sins that, those are bad, but we need to be better. And then you introduce a sinner. And they don't talk like you. They don't act like you. They don't know what's socially acceptable in your Christian circle. And we go, whoa. But that's exactly what Jesus came to do, was to reach those people. Now, I think it's super helpful for us that when we look at this, that the saying, the bad company corrupts good character, there's a reason that we say those things. Jesus wasn't just going and hanging out with tax collectors and sinners to do tax collector and sinner things. We got to catch this in the text that there were many who followed Jesus. That's why he's hanging out with them. But it's just not known that their lives have been transformed yet. He's not going and just putting himself in precarious situations for the purpose of, I just really want to live like sinners, but I want to call myself a Christian. No, he's not doing that. He's calling sinners to repentance. He's calling them out of that lifestyle, and then he's associating with them. He came to save sinners. Now, let's look back at this question real quick, because I think it's helpful that we can follow this breakdown, that Jesus starts in the same place that these Pharisees do. Why is he eating with tax collectors and sinners? Now, this is where I think it begins to apply to our life. Why are you associating, hanging out, spending time with tax collectors and sinners? Now, there's an assumed question there that you are. That's a great question. Are you spending time around lost people? If not, why not? Well, I don't want to become like them. Well, I just think that I shouldn't be around them. Okay, well, let's pause a minute, because that's what Jesus did. He spent time around lost people. But then we got to answer this second question wisely. So why was he spending time around tax collectors and sinners? In order that he might save them. That's why. The Pharisees answered that question, you shouldn't stay away, they'll corrupt you. Jesus answered that question because they need the gospel. Because they need the message of salvation. Because that's the purpose in which he came. Jesus came to save sinners. of which you and I are in that group. As Jeff brought up in our call to prayer, that there's an assumption in the Pharisees' question. Why did he come to save tax collectors and sinners? Why did he come to associate with them? And the Pharisees have removed themselves. Jesus is going to tell another story about a tax collector and a sinner, both in the synagogue. And one of them beats his breast. He can't even look up. And he says, God, have mercy upon me, the tax collector. And the Pharisee stands over there and says, God, thanks that I'm not like him. You see, these two polarized people groups become the platform for Jesus to make the distinction of why he came. Jesus came to save sinners. And I just wonder, could you answer the question the same way? Why has Jesus left you here? Why, when you trusted in Christ, did he not just take you up? What's the purpose that Jesus left you here? Not just in this church, but in your neighborhood. What's the purpose that Jesus has you there? What's the purpose that Jesus has you at the job that you're in? Of all the jobs in the world that you could have had, you're in the job that you're in. With the coworkers that you have a relationship with? What about the family that you're in? God has a big plan and a big purpose for your life and for my life. And we get a little glimpse of that in the way that Jesus responds here, that he's left you where you're at in order that you might present the gospel to those who are in need of it. That's why you're here. You're an ambassador. But the first thing in order for you to be an ambassador is you have to recognize that Jesus came to save you. Man, that ought to blow our mind. We talked about being sinners and the wretchedness of our heart, that when we recognize that Jesus, the Holy One, the Promised One, came to save us in our sin, knowing all of our thoughts and intentions, the wickedness of all of our heart, that he said, I still want you. And just think about Levi for just a minute. How would Levi have been viewed his whole life? Probably as soon as he took this tax collector job. Well, basically everybody around him would have been like, oh, hate that guy. Can't stand him. And here Jesus walks up to him and goes, I want you. That's the same reality that Jesus has said to each one of us. He says, come follow me. I want you. Trust in me. Follow me. I have good in store for you. And then he turns us around and he goes, now you go proclaim that message that Jesus wants them. Whoever the them is, there's no one that's too far gone. I love in this that it's built around Jesus eating with people. We see this in John chapter 6. I want to read just a short little verse for you. In John chapter 6, verse 37, then Jesus says this. He says that all that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. That there's nobody too far gone, that whoever comes, he's going to take in. And so we see that he brings them in. And then in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, we see this picture, Jesus talking to the church of Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and I will eat with him and he with me. That Jesus offers the exact same thing to us and to the world that he offered to Levi, a tax collector, and to the rest of the sinners that Levi was with. That if you respond to the call to follow me, Jesus will take up residence. Jesus will come in and dine. That Jesus is not ashamed to call you his brother, his sister, his friend. Maybe there's someone in here today that's watching online who thinks, too far gone. This text tells you, no, you're not. Jesus is calling out to you today to come follow him, that he wants to dine with you. But my guess is there's a lot of us in here that just need to be reminded of this truth, that Jesus loves to dine with us, to be with us. He's not ashamed of you, but he does want to use you to reach that next person. Just like Levi invited these other friends in, you have a connection of people that Jesus would love to dine with. Let's be a people who understand the purpose that Jesus came, and that was to save sinners. So let's be about that work. Working alongside Jesus to get the gospel to every people, to every neighbor, to every family member, in order that he might call out to them, come and follow me. Let's pray. Lord, would you help us in this? I pray that we might think deeply on the truth and the reality that you came to save sinners. That was the purpose that you came. And the purpose you'll come back for is that you're going to take those sinners that you saved and you're going to take them with you. Lord, would you help us to prioritize our life that we might be about the things that you're about? Proclaiming the gospel in order that people might hear it and be saved. Lord, would you help us that when our Christianese thinking kicks in, our moralistic thinking, Lord, would you just bring this text back to mind? Would your spirit bring this back up, that there's no one too far gone? That there's nobody too lost for you to save? That you are the great physician, that you come to save and to seek out that which was lost in order that you might save them for your glory. Lord, would you help us to be about that? That we might make that our priority this week, taking the gospel to those who need it. In Jesus' name.